Morning, Cornerstone. You guys ready to sing some Christmas songs? Let's rise. Let's rise to our feet. This is a favorite of Cornerstone. It's kind of a new-ish one. It's not an old carol, but we'll sing some of those too. But if you don't know it, learn. It's pretty easy to pick up. You can get this. Starts with some oohs. Can you sing a ooh? I think you can. Here we go. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Us to get into our minds that glorious night, to be able to to put ourselves back in that place and be amazed like the shepherds were, like the wise men were, like Mary and like Joseph was. God, thank you for this thing that we can remember. We can go back in our minds and sing these songs and just use this music, God, to help us guide our hearts toward that spirit that we want to be in this Christmas season. God, help us to reflect that, to shed aside the stress, the pressure, the burdens, the obligations, all that stuff, and help us to embrace what the season is really all about, the coming of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You might notice one.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful how ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim.
Sing a song in Latin. You guys know Latin, right? Let me see the next slide. This is Latin. Gloria in excelsis Deo. So does anybody know what it means? Somebody knows what it means. What? Glory to God in the highest. Gloria, that's an easy one, right? In is actually in. In to excelsis. That's like a lot, right? Excel, that's a lot. The highest, Deo, capital D, that's God. Glory to God in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo. So we're going to sing that. You guys can sing the verses in English and the chorus in Latin, all right? And you're going to feel really accomplished. And we're gonna sing with the angels right here. Good to see some of you guys dancing around and getting into it. That's good. That's good. All right. Well, we have a question of the day today that's related to this season. What's something you've had to wait a long time for, but it was worth the wait? It could be something simple. Could be something profound. What have you had to wait for? Now you have it, and it was worth the wait. Think about that. If something comes to your mind, share that with somebody near you. We're going to let the kids third grade and under head downstairs to their classes, and then we'll be back together in just a minute. All righty. Well, hey, welcome to Cornerstone live stream. Welcome those of you who are on live stream. I know there's some people that are not here today, and that's okay. It's good that people can join us wherever they are. Well, guys, we have... Wait. Kids, how many days till Christmas? 12. I got a 12. I got an 11. I got a 10. 9, 8, 7. It is 10 days to Christmas. 10 days. 10 days, and I'm excited, looking forward to it. And as my kids grow up, I get to start looking forward to them coming back for the holidays, and most of them are going to come home for the holidays. But Christmas, guys, Christmas is a celebration of something God's people had waited for a long, long time. The coming of Messiah. They were waiting with anticipation for that. So I want to think about the first Christmas from Joseph's point of view, and we're going to start with reading, and we have Andrew and Kylie are going to come up, and they're going to read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. So grab your Bibles, open it up, Matthew chapter 1.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in his dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin."
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you. I want to think about Joseph, just the Christmas story from Joseph's perspective, and try to kind of put ourselves in his shoes, try to put yourself back in that time. What would it have been like to be the fiancé of Mary? What would that be like? They are pledged to be married, but before they come together, she's found to be with child. So see if you can put on Joseph's shoes with me for a minute. Think about the scandal, right? So I'm going to take a little bit of creative license here, but I want to try to paint the picture for you. So we got Joe and Mary. They grew up in the same town, pretty sure of that. Small town, a little bit like Kutztown, only without the university and probably no electric cars. Couple differences. Their families knew each other pretty well. The two, they fell in love. They got engaged. Mary, she's probably right out of high school-ish, maybe a little younger. Joe's a little bit older than that. And Joe had grown up. He learned carpentry under his father. He'd caught on quickly. He knew what he was doing. He was already building a reputation of his own. His dad says he's ready. Joe's a hardworking, responsible man, and he's a man who loves God as much as he loves Mary. So with her father's blessing, he asks Mary to be his wife. And these two, they're captivated by each other. Mary had been praying for years that God would give her a man like him, and here he was. Her dreams are coming true. Every day is a good day as this young couple gets ready for their wedding day. They have the whole world ahead of them. Together they could accomplish anything. They were clearly in love. But then one day, Joseph encountered a major disruption to their plan. When Mary returned from an extended visit to her Aunt Elizabeth, Joseph immediately noticed Mary had a different expression on her face. What was it? Was it fear? Was it anxiety? Worry? What could be wrong? And then she removed her cloak, and it became obvious. Mary is pregnant. What? How can this be? What's going on? They hadn't touched each other physically. They're both virgins, or so he had thought. They trusted each other absolutely. How can this be? Clearly now there's a side to Mary he had been completely unaware of. Was she not the person he thought she was? Joe's confused. He's conflicted. And to make matters worse, Mary claims the Holy Spirit was the cause. Really? He wasn't stupid. It was bad enough she's pregnant, but to claim the child came from the Holy Spirit, what kind of fool did she take him for? That's not how it works. The one thing Joe knew for certain was this baby is not his. And this changed everything. Their dreams are shattered. Their future is over. How can he marry a woman who's already carrying the child of another man? He had no other option. The engagement must be broken. Perhaps she'll marry the child's father, but this wedding is off. But he's not angry. His heart's broken. Mary was the only woman he'd ever loved, and he still loved her. So he's not going to retaliate. He refused to shame her, or worse, to follow the law's requirement of stoning. How could he possibly cast the first stone at the woman he so desperately loved? Even if she did betray him, he cannot do that. Instead, he will divorce her quietly. And somehow, someday, he would have to move on. Can you feel a conflict inside of Joseph? Can you feel the tension? I want to believe you, Mary. I really do, but how can I? Imagine what Mary's going through. She knows the truth. She has been faithful to him. But the evidence is unmistakable. Joseph tossed and turned all that night, unable to sleep, praying God would wake him from this nightmare. Why, God, why? Can't we go back to the way things were? And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, the room explodes with light, and there's an angel. Joseph, he said, Mary's telling you the truth. The child in her womb is from the Holy Spirit of God. She's never been unfaithful to you. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now notice, God allowed that period of tension and pain and confusion before he sent the angel to visit Joseph in a dream. Then he released that tension by sharing with Joseph this message, very much like the message he'd already given to Mary. The dream matched. Mary's telling the truth. It's real. This is actually real. I don't have to divorce my wife. So his doubts dissolve, his pain returns to compassion, and then the plan changed again. He can't wait until the betrothal period was over. That would be months. Mary needs him now. And the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. So setting aside all the reservations they both had, what are people going to say? What will our parents think? Joseph took her in as his wife. He would not force Mary to face her family and small town gossip alone. They will do this together. Let the people talk. God had chosen them to bring into the world the Son of God. It's not going to be an easy road for Joe and Mary. Why? One reason, angels will not be visiting everyone in town and their family. And if Joe didn't believe without a special visit from God, what makes you think that the other family and friends are going to believe this story? But oh, what a story. And this is the way Jesus chose to enter into our world. We would not have written the story this way. We would not have done that. God did that. Think about this. Before the angel came to see Joseph, how was he looking at Mary's pregnancy? It was a betrayal, right? He was filled with heartbreak. This was a massive disruption in their plans. I mean, I can only imagine their dreams as a young couple. They're going to marry. They're going to hopefully have a family, live kind of a normal life. Joseph would be a carpenter, make a living, take care of his family. Mary would, hopefully they have kids and she can stay home and take care of the kids. And it would be a good life because they're together. This pregnancy is like a hostile takeover to their plans. A disruption of the worst kind. Somebody else's baby. This is no hiccup. It's not an temporary disruption. There's no fix to this. There's no end to this. This is a permanent black hole to their happily ever after. Joseph feels violated, betrayed. And then the angel came and he learned the truth. The son Mary's about to bear was sent from God. He's coming to save his people from their sins. This is the fulfillment of the ancient prophecy. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him God with us. And Mary is that virgin. My Mary. Can you imagine the emotional overload Joseph is experiencing? To go from, my wife has been unfaithful to me before we even had a chance to come together, to now, God chose us to raise the child that's going to be Israel's Messiah. My goodness. Do you think Joseph was instantly excited? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Or do you think maybe he was feeling a little overwhelmed by all this? We don't have a lot of details. We just say what he did. He's going to divorce her, and then he didn't. So I don't know. I try to think about the details and put some pictures to it. So I got a picture for you today. As I put myself in Joseph's shoes, in my mind, it might have felt a little bit like this. God says to Joseph, here you go, Joseph. I give you this fertilized egg. Your task is to safely take this egg to the top of that mountain. It's a fertilized egg. You must keep it warm. You must keep it close to you. It must not break all the way to the top. That's your job, Joseph. That's the Matterhorn in the Swiss Alps. There's no way I could climb to the top of that without an egg and training. I'm not doing it. Think about some of the stories, some of the classic stories. Frodo, he was given a task. He did not want to carry the ring all the way to Mordor. He did not ask for that. He did not want to do that. Luke Skywalker did not want to fly into the center of the Death Star. Joseph's unexpected assignment is a lot to take in. I think he was pretty overwhelmed. How do you go about raising the Son of God? Is there anyone in the world who would feel qualified for that? And yet this is what Joseph and Mary are called to do. And they accepted their calling. They did exactly what God told them to do. And their names are written into the greatest story ever told. But isn't Joseph's story an example of the way God has always worked? Isn't this what God does? He tells Joseph to marry a pregnant woman and help raise the Son of God. Go back in time. He told Noah to build this massive boat when to that point it had never even rained. He told Abraham, leave your homeland and go just wherever I tell you. It's all you need to know. He told Isaiah, you need to preach repentance to my people until everyone you know has rejected you and your message. That's how you know you're done and have been successful. Jesus told the 12 disciples, leave your careers and follow me wherever. They had no idea. And Jesus has told all of us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things we tend to lose sleep over will be taken care of. Disruption is the way God works. For Joseph, for us. You see, we have this plan, and then God interrupts our plan with a different plan, and usually it's not a plan that strikes us as better. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Back in high school, I wanted to be a veterinarian. Good plan. God said, I have a different plan. All right? Disruption. As a young married couple, Ann and I planned to be missionaries sent out by Cornerstone Church. Then Pastor Mark, our founding pastor, said, I'm leaving the church and I think you should be the next pastor. Disruption. Okay. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I've got this money saved up for this vacation, and God says, you know what? I want you to use that for something different. Or maybe it's just simply, I just want to be normal. I want to mind my own business. I want to have a normal, peaceful family. I want to have enough money to be comfortable and happy. I don't have to have a lot, but is there anything wrong with that? And God says, here's a different plan. God ever disrupted your plan? Every time I have one. You have disruptions. I know some of your disruptions. Some of them were major. And you know, we don't always get an angel visit explaining what's going on. And we often don't respond well to the disruption, right? We like our plans. They're good plans. Why would God need to change them? But he does. He's got the right to. Because he's God, right? Sometimes he changes our plans in massive, drastic ways, and other times he changes them in small ways. Car accidents, job layoffs, health issues, financial issues, breakups. Small disruption for me happened on Monday afternoon. I'm thinking about these things, and Monday was a decent day. It was a good day. I had less pressure than usual for whatever reason. I was getting things done, and towards the afternoon, I'm sitting at home, and just a few careless words come out of my mouth and completely change the vibe between me and my wife for the rest of that day. Instead of feeling productive and content, now I felt like garbage. Don't raise your hand, but like some of you have done the same thing, right? My careless words stirred up pain in my wife that totally redirected the feel of that day. And I don't know, maybe you're thinking, but God didn't do that, you did that. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But God intended for it to happen so he could use it in my life. And I'm not saying it was good that I did it, just that God intended to use it, right? We're not going to blame God in my careless words, but he did intend to use that. Psalm 139 is a verse I go back to all the time. Psalm 139, 16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I love that. He's got a plan. He's got a detailed plan for my life that includes some disruptions I don't know about, includes some pain I'm not aware of, includes all kinds of things I would not have chosen. Why does God do that? Why does he have these plans? Why does he have these disruptions? 1 Peter chapter 1. For a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Now listen, these have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, so your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's the why. God would rather refine and grow your faith than allow you to remain stagnantly comfortable. God would rather refine and grow your faith than allow you to remain stagnantly comfortable. Are you okay with that? Like, are you really okay with that? Can you trust a God like that? Brings disruptions you don't want? Right? I think we've worn Joseph's shoes long enough. Like, you went back, you get it, right? You get the feeling, the tension, the what in the world. Let's put our own shoes back on. Put our own shoes back on. Why does God introduce disruptions to our plans? Why does he do that? I'll give you two reasons. There's probably more, but one is to refine our faith, as we just talked about. 1 Peter 1. Guys, we grow best under pressure. We just do. We grow best under pressure. Suffering produces perseverance. It's in the Bible. And truth is, my faith still needs to be refined. Ask my wife. My faith still needs to be refined. Maybe yours does too. I'm guessing. So number one, God brings disruptions to refine my faith because I'm not done growing yet. But second, he introduces disruptions because our plans are too small. Guys, our plans are too small. God has bigger plans for us than our own peace and happiness. He does. God has a mission for you. He has a mission for you. Like he called Joseph, like he called Noah, like he called Abraham, Isaiah, the disciples. God is calling you for something specific, something higher. Calling you to something greater than a comfortable, happy life. He is. God has a fertilized egg he wants you to carry to the top of the Matterhorn. He has something for you to do. God called Joseph to be the adoptive father of the Son of God. He called Paul to carry the good news of the gospel to the Gentile world. He called Hosea, this ancient prophet, to marry a woman who would definitely be unfaithful to him on repeat and to keep taking her back as a picture of God's faithful love to unfaithful Israel. I'm glad he didn't give me that egg. But God is still calling people. And God has a call for you. I know he does, because that verse I read before is true. For you, all the days ordained for you were written in his book before one of them came to be. That's not for pastors. It's for people. That's for his followers. You have a story to be lived out. It's authored by God, and the story is filled with drama, suspense, and purpose. It is not a boring story. I want to live a boring life. I just want to go home and relax, be left alone. God didn't write that story for you. He's written a story that's more like the stories that capture our hearts as children and adults, like Frodo's story, right? His mission is to carry the ring of power to the depths of Mordor and destroy it. Indiana Jones's mission is to find the Holy Grail to prove that it's there. Luke Skywalker's mission is to destroy the Death Star and save the Republic. And this one, I'll save the best for last. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer's mission? You know it, right? Had to light up the sky that foggy Christmas Eve so all the toys could be delivered. Even these kids' stories, simple kids' stories, are laced with redemption themes because the stories that capture us are redemption stories, because that's what's built into our soul. That's what we need. All those other stories are shadows and reflections of the one great story, the story of eternal redemption. And if you start to look at stories like that, you'll see it. You'll see it. Watch movies and look for the story of redemption. It might be a tainted, flawed story. There's a lot of crazy stuff out there. But the story of redemption is playing on repeat, because that's what captures our soul. That's what our heart longs for. The great redemption story where God sends his own son into the world to rescue us from our slavery to sin and the deception of Satan. Our heart craves, our soul needs that story. This is the story God has written us into, the greater redemption story, the story of eternal redemption. But in our blind condition, in our spiritual numbness, instead, we try to write our own mini stories where the only greatness is our own, with our own miniature version of a happily ever after, a false story, a false happy ever after. We don't want to live for that story. We want to be rescued from that story. That's a false story. What's the alternative? The alternative is to abandon that mini story and get into the greater story, to allow God to awaken you to his call, to take the egg. Yes. Say yes to God. First, we got to receive his rescue. Then we join him in the story, right? We got to receive the story first. We got to be saved by him first, be redeemed, and then we can join. Then we can live a life that touches eternity. So for you right now on live stream and here in person, are you still working on your own mini story? Or have you been awakened to the greater story? We're in process, right? Maybe you're still awakening to the greater story. I can't tell you the specifics of how your part in God's story is going to play out. I can't tell you that, but I can tell you it involves an enlarged focus. When you respond to God's call, your goal changes. It's no longer to find comfort and pleasure and safety on the physical level. It doesn't look like the American dream. God's call means a focus on God's kingdom. God's call means taking risks to shine the light of the gospel wherever he sends you. And I can't help but thinking of my daughter, Karis. She responded to God's call. And she opted not to follow the typical path to college following high school. She was on the track to go to college. She chose not to. Instead, she sacrificed the comforts and stability of what's normal. She's in Thailand right now. And the people she's with, a year ago today, she didn't know a single one of them. She's in Thailand with total strangers, a place that doesn't speak English, teaching English to preschool kids, middle school kids. living on a farm. And as soon as the team begins to get comfortable where they are, the team is transplanted to another part of the world and begins the adjustment process all over again. Who would do that? Who would choose that? I'll tell you who will choose that. Somebody who's more interested in God's kingdom than her own. This weekend, her team traveled a few hours from their current home base for a weekend of Christmas evangelism in a nearby village. Karis is carrying the egg and keeping it warm, and she's not coming home for Christmas this year. And we're okay with that. If you decide to lay down your plans and respond to God's call like I did my first year of college, say, okay, God, you decide. If you decide to do that, I can't tell you where it might take you. It may be somewhere as far off as Thailand. It may not involve a location change at all. It doesn't have to. It may simply be a change of mindset. Where you work the same job, you go to the same school maybe, but instead of focusing on your comfort, your acceptance, your pleasure, your safety, your focus makes a radical shift to God's kingdom. I'm living for something bigger now. I don't need that. I have this. God's kingdom, God's pleasure, God's glory. If and when that happens, your priorities will change. And some of you have been through that process and you've sensed that happen. That has happened in you. Instead of worrying about your own happiness, now you're watching for ways you can shine God's light. You ask different questions. Like, how can I serve this person? Who needs me to pray for them or with them today? Who needs somebody to listen to them? Who's hurting around me? Who is spiritually hungry? Who needs a bigger hope that can only be found in Jesus? Where is God already working, and how can I be part of it? These are the kinds of questions you start to ask. Some of you have started asking those questions.
That's the answer to the question. That's what I waited for so long for, and it's
well worth the wait. Amen. Amen. That's worth the wait. Sometimes it takes a long time to get there. And some of you aren't asking those questions yet, but maybe you're on the way. That's all right. As God's people, our calling is the same. Our calling is to lead people to Jesus and fully follow him together. That's our calling. That's the Great Commission. Now, the way that plays out for you is as unique as your fingerprint. It's not all the same. We're not cookie cutters. We're not. Some of you are glad for that. I don't want to be a cookie cutter with you. We're all different, beautifully different. But the way that plays out for you will have something to do with seeking God yourself and making him known to others. Seeking God personally, that's how you keep the egg warm. Staying connected to God yourself. Making him known is how you carry the egg where it needs to go. Right? Joseph, what if Joseph said, nah, I ain't doing it? What if he had gone ahead with his initial plan and divorced Mary? Forget the egg. I'm out. Forget God's plan. I'll stick with my own. Noah? What if Noah? Boat? Are you crazy? Nah, I'm not in. I'm out. I paid for those eggs. My wife's like, eggs are expensive. I give you a dollar. Moses tried to say no to God. God persisted. They had an argument. It was getting feisty. Moses is like, nah, I don't wanna. God's like, yeah, you're gonna. Moses is like, no, send somebody else. God's like, fine, I'll send somebody else, but you're still going. Now, I could have resisted God too. I could have become a veterinarian anyway. I could have said no. I'm really glad I didn't. I'm really glad I didn't. I would much rather be part of God's story. Whether it's a big role, small role, it doesn't really matter. I would rather do that than to live in the micro world of my own glory story. I don't want to live there. But I'm constantly tempted to go back there. constantly. I want to live for God's glory story. That's the story I want to live in. Don't settle for comfortable. God's calling you to more. Is it scary? Yes, because you're not in control. Joseph was nervous? No doubt. Will it be hard? Yes. You're going to need supernatural strength to get done what God has planned for you to do. Does my daughter, Karis, need supernatural strength in Thailand right now? She knows. She knows. Will it be worth it? Oh my goodness. Yes. Absolutely. I'm not going to throw this one. What might God do with the egg you carry if you choose to say yes to God? Full all-out yes. Yes, God. Whatever you want. How about this? What might 2025 look like for you if you fully give yourself to God's kingdom? Most of us, I would say, are at least partially given to God's kingdom. And if you give yourself a percentage, maybe you're at 10, maybe you're at 50, maybe you're at 70. What would 2025 look like if you were 100% given to God's kingdom? I am going to do it. I don't know how, God, but you said seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and all these things will be taken care of. I'm just going to help me, God, but I'm going to trust you fully. I'm going to do that. I'm not sure how. I'm not sure what. Well, how might 2025 be different from 2024? I mean, he may move you somewhere else if you give him that right. I don't want him to. I want you to stay right here. But what if you said, God, wherever you call me, whatever you want me to do, whatever, only he knows what the answer to that would be. That makes sense, right? But in the end, guys, in the end, at the end of 2025, moving on forever, God's kingdom is the only thing that's going to be worth anything at all in the end. So I invite you to join, to take the egg. Join the great hall of faith. Those who have said yes to God. Join Joseph and Mary, Noah, Abraham, Isaiah, Hosea, the disciples, and the rest of us who have said yes to God. That's a decision. And I'll promise you, God will not leave you alone. He will be with you. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I love that truth. If God gives you a mission, he's also going to give you what you need to get it done. Jesus said in the Great Commission, he said, "All authority is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." And by the way, I'll be with you the whole time. That's his promise. Think about Joseph again. Imagine the confirmation that he received months after Jesus was born when these magi, probably from Babylon, arrive explaining how God directed them to their child through a star in the sky. What? Imagine Joseph watching his kings and lords bow in worship, giving to their child Jesus that which is of most value to them, gold, incense, and myrrh. What child is this? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him laud. That is praise. The babe, the son of Mary. If you give yourself to God's call, it's going to be hard, undoubtedly. But God will also give you confirmation that you're doing the right thing. He will do that because one of his names is Jehovah Jireh. I will provide. I will take care of you. God provides for those who trust him. Aren't you glad Joseph said yes to God? Aren't you glad? He said yes to God and carried the egg all the way to the end. Millions of us this time of year are very glad Joseph accepted God's call. And I will tell you, if you accept God's call, there will be people down the road who will be very glad you accepted God's call too. That's how God works. That's what I want to be part of. His kingdom, His glory. Are you with me? Awesome. Awesome. So we're on a journey, right? And maybe you're sitting here at 10% or 40% or 50 or zero. You have a next step. And I don't know what it is, but I got some suggestions. One is to dream a little. Ask yourself, what might 2025 look like if I give myself fully to God's kingdom? Spend some time processing that. Maybe for you, it's to have a conversation with God. It's right now, it's time for you to do what I did first year of college. Okay, God, you have my future. I'm opening my hands to you. You tell me what to do. The best of my ability, trust in you, your strength, I'm going to follow you. Have a conversation. God, I accept your call, whatever that might be. Two main aspects to following God's call. One is seeking him personally. Two is making him known to others. So maybe you just want to ask God, how do you want me to give myself to one or both of those priorities in the coming weeks? I don't know what your next step is. But if you're serious about this, if you want to say yes to God, there's going to be a next step. So take a minute to think about that. Start thinking about that right now. Well, I have three more in here, and for 35 cents, you can take one home, carry it in your pocket, and remember what we talked about today. Just kidding. We're going to close with the song, What Child Is This? Rise to your feet, please. Let's keep processing this Savior who came into our world.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and so
gold and pearl, from peasant king to own. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Please raise a song on high, the virgin sings her love above. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. To bring him all, the babe, the Son of Mary. Haste, haste to bring him all, the babe, the Son of Mary.
My apologies on that verse. We were going to sing that verse, so that's not their fault. That's my fault. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and lamb are feeding? Good Christians fear, for sinners here the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Lord, we sing and we pray to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, born as a baby and risen as the King. God, we thank you that we can see where the story's going. God, we know it's the right story. It's the story we want to be part of. And yet our hearts are torn and we get dragged into these many stories that are so much less. God, use this upcoming year to shape our hearts, to shift our hearts in whatever way you want, that our hearts would be captivated by the great story and by the great Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can have a seat. So I have two announcements for today. One is an important upcoming announcement. Home groups are starting again in just a few weeks. So we have these sign-up sheets, these old-school paper sign-up sheets. They will be downstairs on the information table. There's a Monday option. That's red. There's a Tuesday option. That's green. So I don't know. Green means go. Red means stop. I don't know. It's Christmas colors. So whichever group you want to be part of, if you haven't been part of a group before, sign up, try one out, just give it a shot. If you've been part of a group and you want to stay, please write your name on here anyway, because then other people can see who's in this group. Oh, I don't like those people. I'll check this group out. Oh, I like those people. Seriously, like, it helps to know who's going to be in the group. So some people connect better with others. So this will be downstairs. Put your name on it. Let us know if you want to be part of one of the groups so we can accommodate and be ready for anybody who wants to be part of it. Secondly, people are asking, what's going on for Christmas Eve? Everybody? What's going on? Yes! Yes! Christmas Eve, Cornerstone never has our own Christmas Eve service. We always join with another church. We join together. And for a long time, it's been Church on the Hill. So that is on Hottenstein Road. If you have plans with other family members who want to do something, you just have plans to be with your family, that's fine, totally fine. But some of us are going to be at Church on the Hill. Part of us are going to be part of the worship team. It'll be a blended service, about an hour long. So if you want to join us, Church on the Hill, 7 o'clock, Christmas Eve. That's on the 24th this year. So if you want to be part of that, join us for Christmas Eve. Outside of that, there's other announcements coming, some things we're going to be starting in the new year that you will be hearing about shortly. But for now, think about Christmas. Enjoy the season. Try to shed the stress and embrace what it's really about. So you guys have a great day. I believe there's some snacks downstairs if you want to hang out for a while. Otherwise, have a great day.